Desert Island Discs. Each week we ask a well-known person the question, if you were to be cast away alone on a desert island, which 8 gramophone records would you choose to have with you? Assuming, of course, that you also had a gramophone. As usual, the castaway is introduced by Roy Plumley.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? On our desert island this week, I'm welcoming ashore one of the most popular young artists in the country. It's Cliff Richard.
Hello there, Roy.
Now, Cliff, although you've been for 2 or 3 years now in the top brackets of show business, you still aren't 21, is that right?
That's right. I've just turned 20, actually, just a few weeks back, and I've just left my teens, and I don't like it, and I don't feel any older, though, you know?
You don't look any older. Now, you, more than most of us, live in the middle of crowds of people, crowds that, in your case, sometimes appear to be trying to tear you limb from limb. How would you react to the complete opposite to all that? How would you stand up to isolation and loneliness?
Well, to be honest, I think the first few months I might enjoy very, very much. But I think, like any normal person, being on your own can be very, very maddening. And I think I'd go a bit mad. And I think taking records is a simply marvelous idea.
Well, you have just 8 as a link with the outside world. How have you set about choosing them?
Well, I've chosen 8 records that I consider, I think, will be my all-time favorites unless something else happens along. I haven't chosen it because the artists, you know, appeal or anything like that, although they do in this case.
Mm.
But I went all out to choose ones that I particularly like.
Do you play the gramophone a lot?
Well, I have. My main hobby is buying records, and my second hobby is playing them.
Well, what's the first one you've chosen?
Well, the first one is Pearl Bailey singing Beat Out the Rhythm on the drums.
Why do you choose that?
Well, I'm not an opera lover or a classical lover, and in saying this, I hope I don't upset anybody. But to me, this is the nearest thing I've heard from that side of musical business that has come anywhere near being commercially pop. You know, and this appeals to me immensely, and it's very, very exciting, and the arrangement, everything is marvelous.
Something thumping in the bass, that thump, thump, thumping on the music, that bump, bump, bumping on the music is all I need to start me off. I don't need nothing else, maybe I do, to start me off. Beat out that rhythm on the drum, beat out that rhythm on the drum.
Beat out that rhythm on a drum, sung by Pearl Bailey, from Oscar Hammerstein's adaptation of Carmen, Carmen Jones. What's your second choice, Cliff?
This one's a ballad called Tammy by Debbie Reynolds.
Mm, why?
Well, this, I think, was my first, you know, film star crush, you know, and I walked about for weeks in the terrible days. And it's most, you know, touching lyrics, and it just appealed to me immensely. You know.
Does the crush still last?
I still like Debbie Reynolds, but it's the crush is gone. You know.
I hear the cottonwoods whispering above, Tammy, Tammy, Tammy's in love. The old hooty owl, hooty hoos to the dove.
Debbie Reynolds singing Tammy. Cliff, whereabouts were you born?
I was born in Lucknow in India, although we weren't very long in Lucknow, just a few weeks. My mother and father moved house, and we lived in Howrah, which is just outside Calcutta.
Yes. When did you come to live in London?
Well, we came back to England in September 48.
Yes. So you remember quite a lot about India?
Well, not really. I remember it, but I don't remember having any fun out there. You know, I lived there till I was 7. My mother and father get together with my relatives now, you know, they reminisce, and I sort of say, oh, I wish I was 16 or even 18 while I was out there, you know.
Mm. Is there any precedent in the family for the theatre or for music?
No, the only person I know who took any interest was my father's brother. I remember he played guitar, strumming guitar, and used to sing extremely like Bing Crosby.
Mm.
And that's the only thing he didn't do as a career or professional.
When did you start taking interest?
Well, I've always had an interest in singing in some sort. When I was in India, I used to be in a choir, the school choir. And I started taking an interest in pop music at the age of about 11, 12.
Yes.
But the real feeling that I wanted to be a singer or anything became when rock and roll first came out, you know.
What was your very first appearance before an audience?
Well, I can't remember the exact place, but I do know that I went through an audition to join an amateur group. It was a skiffle group. Skiffle was quite the rage at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to sing very badly, so although I didn't particularly like skiffle, This is the first time I've ever done anything I don't really like. But I wanted to sing much more than I dislike skiffle, so I joined this group.
How long did you stay with it?
About 8 months, and then my liking for rock and roll sort of overcame me, and I said I'd leave and form my own group.
Was there any one artist who influenced you more than others?
Yes, I'll be quite honest. Elvis Presley influenced me, as he influenced quite a few people, you know.
Yes.
And I used to try and look very much like him. I had sideburns and guitars and things.
Was entertaining your first job when you left school?
No, when I left school, I was pretty disappointed, actually, because I had no idea about being a singer. I just knew I wanted to be one, but I cast it aside. I'd taken GCE in four subjects and only passed one, language. I'd like to have passed literature. That's my favorite. But I went to work in an office where my father was working at the time, slightly higher than a coffee boy, but not much.
And you were entertaining in the evenings?
Yes, that's right. But a few months before I actually left work, I got an audition with Norrie Paramore for a record contract. And about 3 months before I left work, I made a record, you know, and it was very, very exciting, and I couldn't bear it. You know, I was doing all sorts of wrong things, and I'm sure that if I'd carried on much longer, they'd have given me the sack. You know?
And the record was a great success.
Yes, I was very lucky with the record. I turned professional just a month before it was released, and after my first TV show, it got in the charts, and it climbed slowly up to number two.
Fine. Well, let's break off and have record number three.
Well, we were talking about Elvis Presley, and since he had a great influence, and I owe him quite a lot, I'd like to take Heartbreak Hotel.
Well, since my baby left, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that Heartbreak Hotel where I'll be. I'll be just a lonely baby. Well, I'm so lonely. I'll be just a lonely. I could die. Although it's always crowded, you still can find some room for broken-hearted lovers to cry there in the gloom.
Elvis Presley singing Heartbreak Hotel. Cliff Richard isn't your real name, is it?
No, it's not. My real name is Harry Webb.
Why did you change it?
Well, when I had this group, it was called The Drifters, you see, and we were working in a coffee bar in the West End. And one weekend we were offered a job in Derby for the weekend, playing in a dance hall. And the gentleman who booked us wanted to have a name, you know, something in The Drifters. And he said, Harry Webb and The Drifters. And I said, oh, no, it's far too square, so we all sat around pondering over cider. And names cropped up, and the last few names that cropped up was Russ Clifford. And I said it sounded rather round and rather like a ballad singer, you know, so they changed it round to Cliff Russard. And I said, well, I like Cliff, but I definitely don't like Russard. So someone came up with the ingenious idea of calling me Cliff Richards, with the S on the end. But we decided that knocking the S off would make it two Christian names and make it more easy to remember, you know.
Yes. Well, is there any particular event in your career that was the big turning point, the big break?
Oh, undoubtedly, there's one thing that happened. It just happened, Living Doll.
Yes.
It made such a difference, you know. It was a kind of a change in style and a slight breakaway. And I can't tell you what a difference it made for me. I started getting letters from older people and from a blind school, and it made just the world a difference.
How many records have you had among the top 20 bestsellers?
Well, I've been very lucky, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed because I don't know how long it's going on, but I've made 10, and they've all been in the chart so far.
10 out of 10?
Yes.
While you sing, Cliff, you perform these rather frenzied movements. Do you rehearse these with each song, or is it a sort of spontaneous expression of how you feel?
No, it's all spontaneous, because I don't think you can do this kind of thing by practicing it. It is literally just letting yourself go with the music, and whatever comes just happens. We have changed a wee bit, and that is now we rehearse a movement that makes it slightly more professional. It's easier to watch too. My group do movements, and I join them sometimes, and it's more, you can call it a small sort of dance routine on stage.
Yes. Your group, The Shadows, how long have they been with you?
Approximately 2 years. Since I've been started, I started off with two guitarists, and on that tour I met another bass player, and a few weeks later after the tour we found a drummer.
Do you write any of your own songs?
Well, I haven't for 2 years, but I wrote one just a few weeks back, and it's been recorded by Cherry Wainer. And also, I had a hand in writing one of my own on my latest LP.
Well, let's have record number four. What next?
Well, four, I'd like Dakota Staton singing My Funny Valentine.
Why?
Well, I said before that I didn't have much time for classics, but I also never had much time for jazz. But I mean literally no time, because my career and my life has been rock and roll and pop music. And when I first heard Dakota Staton, I was just completely bowled over by sincerity in her voice and the clarity. And to me, she's the greatest female vocalist and is definitely my favorite, so I'd like to take her with me.
My funny Valentine, call me Valentine. You make me smile with your heart.
Dakota Staton singing My Funny Valentine. At the moment, Cliff, and for some months past, you've been working in London at the Palladium, but ordinarily you're rushing about.
Yes, that's right. In fact, this Palladium from continual one-night stands.
With television and discs as well, the one-night stands must mean a video.
I know just how much I miss it. I'm on a coach or something. I know it sounds ridiculous, but it's certainly very exciting.
Yes, of course. Now, it means you'll have to keep...
Yes, my income has split quite a few. Manager and the agent, both taking 10%. Four, which are paid weekly. Of course, my mother and father don't work, I persuaded us.
Mm.
But... my sister works for me as a kind of secretary.
Yes. Well, they'll have to keep going. You can't say, if you...
I can't get in the habit of saying that, although this time to go for one, but I shan't go by myself. We're going, thinking of going to Spain, actually.
So, are very young people, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. 5 to 15, but overall, 5 to 20, I think.
Yes. And nearly all girls?
Nearly all girls, yes.
Now, is it a fact that you can't move about easily in the streets without the risk of being mobbed?
It's true in a way. In the provinces, that's very true. In town, they're slightly... more blasé about it, because I think they're used to bumping into people, you know. But in the provinces, they don't hesitate to see someone they know from the screen. They don't hesitate to gather around.
Yes, and that means that you can lose the buttons off your clothes.
Oh, you can quite easily. They don't mean to do any harm, really.
Do you carry special insurance against that sort of thing?
Well, I'm insured personally, and of course, all the clothes I buy are insured, and the guitars which I bought for the group are insured, and the amplifiers, and anything that is necessary to our work.
Ready for anything.
Yes, we have to be, unfortunately.
Well, let's have record number 5.
Well, the 5th one, I'd like to be Lena Horne singing How You Say It.
Why?
Well, because Lena is the first jazz artist I ever went to see. And between you and me, she's dynamic, and I was so knocked out. And I've seen a few pop singers, but... of all the artists I've ever seen, she has knocked me out. Most of all, I'd like to take a memory of her with me.
I meet a handsome Yankee. I like him 1, 2, 3. But I cannot so easy think to find a word like how you say gee. Gee, oh golly, gee. I like so much his kisses. They fill me up with joy. But I cannot so easy think to find a word like how you say boy.
Lena Horne singing How You Say It. What next, Cliff?
Well, the next one I've chosen Dion and the Belmonts version of That's My Desire.
Why did you choose it?
Well, I happen to have made a recording of That's My Desire, but I made it in the old style in the way it was written. But this one is unorthodox. It's a pop version of it. And quite honestly, when I first heard That's My Desire, the real way by, I don't know who was singing it, but I was really quite knocked out with the lyrics and the tune and everything. And I thought, well, this is it. This is the end. These old songs are the best. But I'll be honest with you also, the pop version I prefer to the old version. I know people are going to hate me, but I hope they don't hate me too much. But this is one reason why I'd like to take it with me. And it's also a beautiful song.
To spend one night.
On the Belmonts, That's My Desire. Now, Cliff, you're on this desert island. How good do you think you'll be at looking after yourself?
Well, at the moment, and up till now, at home and things, I haven't been very practical. But I think I'd be able to rally myself around, because so far I've noticed, I think it seems to be enough family. But if my mother's been ill or something, or not well that day, but if somehow everything's happened, and we've all come around and we've all been able to do everything and carry on just as normal. So I'm hoping, and I think I could manage on an island by myself.
Well, you sound as if you'd be pretty resourceful.
Well, I hope so, yeah.
Record number 7.
Well, this one, I'd like it to be Rock Around the Clock by Bill Haley.
Why?
Well, I'm sure everybody knows that rock and roll has meant more than just a sort of hobby to me. It's meant my career, and it made the opening to let me do something I really wanted to do. And if I'm going to go away for the rest of my life, I'd definitely like to take a memory of something that's meant more to me than anything else has. And that's the only and big reason why I'd take Rock Around the Clock by Bill Haley.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock, we're gonna rock. Around 10 o'clock tonight, put your glad rags on. Join me, hon, we'll have some fun. When the clock strikes one, we're gonna rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. When the clock strikes two, three, and four.
Bill Haley and his comments, rock around the clock. What's for the future, Cliff?
Well, the trend in music is changing very, very rapidly, and it's turning to ballads now, but it's still the beat ballads, you know? And I'm hoping that we can come over with this. We have made about three or four ballads, more than I usually do, actually. And beyond music, I'd like to make a hit in films if I possibly can. I've made two films.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't had a chance to really act, you know. In fact, the last film I was told to be myself with a different name. It doesn't help any.
And you've got a film lined up, haven't you?
Yes, I have one lined up for the end of January. It's a thriller by Marjorie Allingham.
And does that give you opportunity, you think?
Well, yes, it's a far more concrete part. It's when I read the book, I was a bit disappointed because everything seems to happen in the mind. It's all abstract. But the producer promised me that when I read the script, I could do something with it. But it's far more acting part than the others, anyway. Mm.
You've been working in the United States this year. Do you want to go back there to work?
Well, I worked there for 5 weeks, and honestly, after the first week, I was so homesick, I felt ridiculous, you know. But I don't think I'd like to go back particularly unless my records start to do something out there, because I feel we wasted 5 weeks being out there, and the record companies just weren't plugging us enough, you know. You can do so much yourself, and then the rest of it is just left to records, and nothing happened.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to stay here?
Oh, I couldn't live anywhere else anyway, so that's it for me.
Good, good. Well, let's have record number 8.
Well, this one by Ray Charles, it's called Am I Blue? And the reason why I like this so much and like to take it with me is the artistry of it. I don't know who arranged it. I'll have to look it up. But it is a fantastic arrangement of this song. Ray Charles isn't the greatest of singers. I mean, to me, quality singer type is Pat Boone or something like that. This boy is very rough. But he is blues, complete and utter blues. And everything he sings means something. And it tugs at me. I don't have any feeling for blues, really. But I enjoy this immensely. And because it's so clever, so well arranged, I'd like to take it with me.
Am I blue? Am I blue? Ain't these tears in these eyes telling me?
Ray Charles singing Am I Blue. You're not taking any of your enders to the island?
Oh, no, I think I've had enough of those.
If you could only take one of these 8 you've chosen, which would it be?
Well, I thought of this. I'd like to take Rock Around the Clock by Bill Haley. The reason being is that it's meant more to me than anything else has in my life. Rock and roll, that is, not necessarily the rock record. And whenever I play Bill Haley music, it always brings to mind thousands of people, and I think of jostling crowds and people jiving about, and I think if you're alone, I think I'd like to think of lots and lots of people, and that's why I take this one.
And you're allowed to take one luxury with you?
I think I take my guitar, because even now, whenever I want to relax or do anything myself, I play guitar.
Mm-hmm. And one book, apart from the Bible and Shakespeare?
I think I'm going to take Swiss Family Robinson.
That's a crafty move.
Yes,
very
indeed.
Useful book indeed.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Cliff Richard, for letting us hear your choice of Desert Island Disc.
Well, thank you very much, and goodbye, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to choose my own choice of records.
Goodbye, everyone.